First of all, let me say that I'll be talking to you very shortly about a new program that I'm going to be undertaking on this program, in terms of just a little revamp, just tweak it a little so that we freshen it up a bit. And just one little tweak, it's nothing major, but some people would say, "Well, what are you doing? I'm doing my program. What do you want me to do?" So we'll do that. That's coming up very shortly, just to put a different spin on it so we can freshen it up a little bit. We need to just not get stuck in a rut. You add a little dimension. And I'm also going to try to get some equipment, new equipment that helps us keep a smooth flow all through the program. I have no idea what it is. I've spent almost 2 weeks now with the folks at T-Mobile, and they have been extraordinarily helpful. But we are not solving this problem as to why calls get dropped. And I need that solved. And it probably means I have to get other pieces of equipment to supplement what I have now. But it's not something that I'm lacking. It is that we can't figure out, not we. They can't figure out what is going on. Why is it that the calls are being dropped? They've done surveys of the towers that surround the building where I live. They've done all kinds of things to figure out what is going on, and we still have not solved the problem. So that is very high on my list. I really go crazy when calls are dropped or the sound is dropped. So we spent a lot of time on this. And we've come up with the answer that we have no answer at the moment, no definitive answer for why this happens. At one point, the theory was that I'm in an area that is oversaturated, but that's not it. That's not it. They found that out. It's not it. They did all the technical things that they needed to do. I must say, by the way, I'm not saying this as a criticism of them at all. They have been extraordinarily cooperative, and they have spent a lot of time, and we go back and forth with testing and retesting, and we still can't figure out why it is that we lose connection so frequently. That is a problem for me. I really, really hate it. So we will work on that. And just one more week to go before we get back in the saddle again. But today, I want to talk to you about something I'm sure you have an opinion on, and that concerns this president. This has got to be one of the worst periods. Maybe it's the worst because we're living it. Maybe there have been other really very bad presidents and horrible presidencies before this one. But I would venture to say Trump takes the cake. And there's a reason. The underlying reason really bothers me, too. And it has to do with this idea that, well, they'll give him a chance. They won't move on him the way they would move, let's say, if this were Barack Obama.
We had indications from the very beginning that this president was just not suitable. This candidate, I should say, was not suitable. And besides what he showed us during the campaign, there was a long and documented history of his bizarre behavior, his bizarre conduct, and questions about his how he did business. There were all kinds of questions about Donald Trump. Nonetheless, because he was wealthy and people felt him to be well-connected, et cetera, he became a candidate. And then, even when, again, these irregularities showed up, they decided, we're not going to pay attention to that. We just want a guy who will win. And he's one of the guys we think will win. So his candidacy was backed. Despite the fact that he had a long history of being bad at business, bad in his personal life, just an atrocious individual. They had all kinds of ways of telling that Donald Trump is not supposed to be a candidate, but he became one, and lo and behold, they poured enough millions of dollars into his campaign, and so Trump became president of the United States. Not because he deserved it, but because there were forces that decided they will make it happen one way or the other. And we entered into this particular historical period. It is a historical period because we had essentially a mirage, run for president and win. And the madness continued. The chaos continued. We heard stories from the inside about how chaotic it was, bizarre. Trump had strange ways of doing things that did not conform or comply with what was required. All of this was going on. I talked about it. Okay, let's just shorten that part of it and say, so he wins the presidency. And now, as he intended to mount his bid for re-election, a lot is coming out about how really bad it was that he was the choice of the Republican Party for president of the United States. Lots of wrongdoing, lots of, but we know these things, okay? People who are running their own private game within the Trump campaign and within the Trump White House, they're doing their own thing. Making their own rules, making their own business, doing whatever the heck they wanted to do. As long, it seems, as long as he got a cut, a hefty cut, he would allow just about anything to happen, and apparently did. But you see, we knew this. The whole country was apprised of this before even the first election. We knew this. Trump is a liar. He's a thief. He's a scoundrel. He's a cheat. He is nothing at all that a president of the United States allegedly should be. So how was he permitted such wide berth to do whatever it is he wanted to do and to bring in other people to form a kind of cabal? They were running their business out of the White House, doing all kinds of things. We're only just getting hints of it now. So we're at this point where it is decided Trump lost his re-election bid, despite the fact that he insisted that he won the election and, you know, carried on this psychological thriller, at least in his head, that he was going to prevail. This is the most bizarre thing ever. And what was more bizarre to me is that everybody around him supported it. Nobody said anything. Members of Congress weren't openly critical. Nobody was trying to embarrass him. They let him get away with whatever it is he wanted to do. And the United States sank into an abyss from which it still hasn't been able to climb out of. So I'm asking the question now, should Trump and his cabal, all of them implicated in any way in massive wrongdoing, should they face criminal charges? Should there be a push on to investigate thoroughly, since they abrogated that responsibility from the start? Should he and his cabal, all the people who conspired with him in all these various ways to do all these illegal things, to make money and to have power, should we now get into serious investigation and criminal prosecution? Or, and I want you to pay attention to this part, or will we soon hear from Joe Biden and his ex-prosecutor vice president to be, Kamala Harris, that it is time to put Trump, all that Trump turmoil, behind us, and we should get on with the business of healing the nation? I suspect that's coming. Nobody wants to engage with Trump and the myriad problems and the chaos that he caused and confusion and missing money and all kinds of things going on in the White House. Him, his children, his buddies and pals, they had a field day. Is Biden or is Kamala Harris, are they both going to take this on as a priority item? Because Trump has defiled this nation, Trump and his minions. And all the while, the flip side of that coin was that people were made to suffer. Made to suffer. They're talking next about cutting Social Security benefits and other health benefits. This is the problem that we have. We have people committing grievous wrongs. And we have a system that says, well, you know, it's going to cause more trouble than it's worth. So should we suspect that Biden and Harris will soon take the position that this Trump turmoil, we just want to get out in front of it. We want to put it behind us and act as if, well, the charge should be to keep the nation moving forward. This would only drag us down, and we won't be going anywhere. So let's concentrate on moving forward, which means we'll have to do a lot of forgiving and a lot of, oh, we didn't know what happened and we're not inclined to know right now. The most important thing is to see to the people and put all this turmoil behind us, because we are about healing America. What do you think? We're going to get some of that? Or are we going to see this administration really tackle this pervasive problem we have had for 4 years? Nothing has been done. Really? And Trump turned around and pardoned the criminals. He may even pardon himself, it said. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's get into that conversation. Which conversation is the nation going to be involved in? The conversation that says, let's get on with the prosecution of Trump and his cabal, or let's get on with the future of the nation and put this behind us and pretend it didn't happen. We would acknowledge that it did a lot of damage, but we'll move on, because that's the American way. 888-874-4888. Let's hear what you're thinking out there. I really would like to know. 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, you start us off today.
Hey, good afternoon, Latrice. How you doing?
Thank you, Ed. I'm okay.
Thank you. Happy New Year, and hopefully a better one. We shall see. Keeping my fingers crossed and hanging by my thumbs, which is a difficult position.
Hang on with your thumbs, that's for sure.
Hanging on my thumbs and trying to keep my fingers crossed at the same time. difficult position. Got to be dexterous. I would like to say that this government would engage this Trump criminal administration and give them what they're due or what they should be due as far as legally and as far as morally and ethically. I don't believe they will. I believe we're going to get the old, let's move on, let's push forward. We've got to heal the nation, like you said. I don't believe we're going to get what is needed, like in South Africa, where we had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, because I don't believe in forgiveness without recompense. I don't believe in, there's no cheap grace, there's no free lunch. So someone should be held accountable for the actions. But this is America, and it's happened before in previous administrations, and it's going to happen again. We're going to get that old bag of soap. And now that we're in a climate of abject fear, from a new variant with a virus to all the chicanery going on with the vaccinations and how the side effects, all of that is playing into all of this. And like I said to you before, I believe, coming from the military, it's like a psychological op where they're using fear and misinformation to elicit a specific response from the public to fall in line, to follow the status quo, and to keep the public under control. And he plays a part in it. The terrible memory of this man, we don't want this to happen again. Let's move forward. Let's get away from it. Let's heal the nation. But this guy should be held accountable. He committed criminal acts. He caused death. He caused strife. He caused people to lose their livelihood and their lives. And he shouldn't be able to walk away from it. But unfortunately, I don't see them doing anything significant to chastise, imprison, or extradite him in any way, shape, or form.
So you see Biden as basically saying, let's bury the past and move on. Yes. And you're not expecting that the Biden administration will be looking, even though a former prosecutor is soon to be vice president, should be taking a keen interest in prosecuting those who did wrong.
I don't see it. I mean, they have a myriad of excuses to use, and the fear of this man ever gaining power again is something that they're accessing also to control the temperament of the environment. There's a lot of stuff going on here that doesn't make any sense. I mean, even his own party, the Grand Old Party, nobody's rising to chastise out of them. I mean, if this man continues, this could be conceivably the end of the Republican Party, as we know it, because no one is standing up and saying, hey, you know, this guy is garbage. What are you doing? He's trying to intimidate other members of the party. He doesn't even have, he's so far gone that he doesn't even have the rationale to disguise anything. Phone calls are leaking, hour-long conversations about 1,100 or 1,200 mysterious ballots that he needs, but he has. You couldn't write this stuff. It sounds like an old Saturday Night Live skit. You know, if it wasn't happening in real time, you must have got laughing because it's a joke. It is an average joke, and unfortunately, nothing's going to be done. The only thing that worries me is a standard has now been set to be accepted in this country now. And who knows is going to come up in the next 4 years and is going to take advantage of the same average and garbage that this guy did to put himself in office.
We shall see. Thanks for getting us started today. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Wonderful, you, Trees.
Hey, wonderful, Harvey. What's going on?
Well, I believe
what
that
do
I
you
have
think?
A solution. I believe that I have a solution that will work for everyone, including Donald, with his feelings of deep anxiety about leaving the White House. The answer is that pro-Trump Republicans should raise funds to finance an exact replica of the Oval Office that will be built in the Trump Tower. That way, Donald can be president for life. And he can even have a little red button that he can press when he feels like blowing up the world.
It's a little out there today, Harvey, but thank you for calling in and contributing.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. What are we likely to see in the very near future as the Biden administration takes hold of office? Are we going to see a major, this is major and systemic, investigations of all possible wrongdoings that are prosecutable? And or are we going to see Kamala Harris as vice president and the Biden administration generally with their newly installed U.S. Attorney General? Are we going to see them saying, look, we've been through a rough time. This country has been through so much in the last 4 years, but we do not intend to occupy the next 4 years just dealing with the last 4 years. We have things to accomplish. We have things to do, and the people are looking to us for leadership in that regard. So we will choose instead to get on with our administration and get on with the concerns of the American people. And by doing so, they kind of just wash it away. It just quietly fizzles, and it's no more. It recedes into the background, and nothing comes of it. But should we be prepared for that? Is it possibly going to happen? 888-874-4888. And if it does, what are we prepared to do about it? Even now, what are we prepared to do about these issues? Is Trump going to be permitted to just walk out and say, well, you know, life goes on, good luck, and I did my best, and whatever else he could muster up as some kind of a plausible explanation? Where do we go next? What do you expect to happen next? David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes. As I look at this, what's coming to my mind is that Trump is not worse than a lot of presidents. In other words, I see it as many of these presidents are criminals. When I think about wrongdoing, I think about, let's start just at Bush 41, his attack of Iraq. To me, that's a criminal act. There was no reason that he had the right to do that. And then if you get to Bush 43, what he did in Iraq, that to me is a criminal act of a president. When you think of Barack Obama, him deciding who he's going to kill every week with these attacks, extrajudicial killings. I mean, so as I see it, every president in the recent past, as we just go back to, let's say, Bush 41, there's some criminal act that you could pin on them and we could go after them for, you know, and certainly I see that with Trump going around and doing the things that he has done that are criminal. So as I see it, Biden, he was part of the Obama administration, and so he's a party to this. And so it's unlikely that much time will be spent, as I see it, looking at Trump and the discomfort he has caused in the country and the criminality that he has been involved in all over the world. So to me, it's a pattern. A president can do what he wants, or she wants if a female president comes up. And no matter how criminal it is, nothing is going to happen. The ruling class is not going to spend much time, as I see it, going after Trump for what he has done.
Thank you. 888-874-4888. I have a bad feeling about this one. I think we're being set up to accept the latter argument that we've been through enough already. We can't undo what has already been done. So what we can do with this fresh administration, this new administration, is basically take a different tack and infuse, by doing so, a sense of hope in the nation that we've had it. We have declared the end to confusion and chaos and insanity going on, and we are now going to try and get some order. We're going to try and bring things to a logical level where people can now begin to operate as if this were a regular nation. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what the argument is, but I think they're preparing us for the argument that enough has been done to just massacre the national outlook, and what we should do now is concentrate on coming together, healing, and moving on. Joe from Florida, you're on the air.
I wanted to thank the previous caller, I think his name was Ed, for his comments. He's spot on as far as I'm concerned. Before I go on, I want to say that I had an experience, personal experience with Trump before most of the nation ever heard of him. And I determined at that time that he was a sociopath, that he was not interested in anybody else's concerns, only his own. And so having said that, I don't like him. I never did, but I voted for him because I didn't want to deal with the Clintons back in the White House. So said that. That's one thing. The other thing is that if you or anybody else think things are going to get any better in this country, I hope you're right, but I don't think so. I've seen a continuous deterioration since Eisenhower. Not that he was the greatest person ever existed, but I've seen a deterioration in the quality of life of a lot of people, not only minorities, but majorities, if that's a term. Okay, that's all I'm going to say is lots of luck on things getting any better.
Oh, thank you very much. We'll need it. Thank you. 888-874-4888. Which way are you predicting that this nation goes once the Biden and Harris team are in place in Washington, D.C.? You know, it is inexplicable to me. I cannot understand it. I can't explain it. That even as things unfolded, I'm talking about Trump, and people saw, it was reported what was going on, and people were doing their best to say, well, here is a story. It comes from a very credible source. It's a good newspaper and so forth and so forth. But people insisted on not believing anything with Trump. How do you explain that phenomenon where a nation refuses to acknowledge reality and the truth? Henry from Chicago, what's your answer to that question?
Hey, Idris, how's it going?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Can you repeat that question again?
I mean, how do we explain the phenomenon that someone so brazenly crooked, so totally unfit for the office, not only got into office, but was kept there by a very faithful public?
Well, you know, the thing is that the American psyche has, for me, it's always been like this. And it's just basically just coming out to the forefront with Donald Trump. See, people like Donald Trump because of the fact that, you know, he has gumption, you know, he thinks he can do what he can, you know, what he wants to do. And, you know, a lot of people like that in this country because we're a nation that, you know, we understand that we're the most powerful nation in the world. And, you know, we could go around and bomb other countries at our will, you know, take elections just like, you know, he's trying to do. which is so interesting because, you know, he also tampered with the Venezuelan elections, trying to install what is that guy's name? Guaido.
Guaido. Yes.
You know, so he's over there trying to interfere with their elections as well last year. So, you know, they like him because of the fact that, you know, he represents what America is to the world, a bully, a guy who feels like he can do anything he wants to because, you know, he has access to the, you know, to the red button and he has access to a lot of things as the president of the United States. He's a racist. He's a narcissist. And he's all those type of things that typical Americans like.
With this incoming administration, what do you think the attitude will be with regard to prosecuting or possibly prosecuting Trump and his cabal, as I call them? And what do you think the attitude will be about explaining to the people that they're not going to go the prosecutorial route because the country has been through enough and it is time for healing?
Well, I think you and many of the callers, for me, I think what's going to happen is, you know, they're not going to prosecute him. That's basically, you know, for me, that's kind of like the consensus of people who are somewhat politically astute, just for the simple fact that, for one, when Donald Trump became president, you know, he was making these calls about locking up Hillary Clinton, and she's still free. So I would highly doubt that Biden and Kamala would do the same thing. But, you know, also, too, the message, you know, it's so interesting. There'll be inauguration is the 20th, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to be going into that's the week of the King holiday. So I'm assuming they're going to use King's, you know, image of, you know, healing and forgiveness and all that other kind of stuff that they misquote King on and basically announce it, you know, at the inauguration using the backdrop of Dr. King, which probably, you know, they'll probably misuse and misinterpret that message in regards to, you know, not prosecuting Donald Trump. And I think you also mentioned, too, that this sets a precedent. And, you know, don't be surprised if the next president or the next president after that is worse than Donald Trump.
That's very, very, a very serious thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
that somebody could actually be worse than Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's really something to be paying attention to. Thanks, Henry, for your call today. Now, this is the issue. It never stops. But there are several undercurrents that we haven't even gotten to yet as to why there was this hands-off policy, it appears, when it came to Donald Trump and matters prosecutorial or potentially prosecutorial, and not just Trump, the Trump family, Trump's cronies, Trump's inner circle. We still have no idea, not the total idea, of just how much money disappeared that should have gone into healthcare and education and housing and many other programs that people desperately need and that should have been provided for. All that money just went. No explanation so far, no auditing. Nobody has come up with a report that says, We're missing $11 billion in this area. We're missing $5 billion in this area. Nothing. Nothing at all. And all we hear is Trump talking about himself. What a magnificent specimen he is. And how really we benefited from having him in office. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you're thinking. You know, this is about the changing of the guard is about to occur. We have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris coming in. It will take some time for them to get up to speed. But even now, there's no indication that they are going to take a pretty hard line on this, even with Kamala Harris being a former prosecutor. Where did all this money go? Who is in charge of investigating that? I know it will take some time. This is a lot of money, trillions of dollars. I can bet you are either misapplied or missing. But we will hear this. I think we ought to be prepared for it. It's coming. That we've been through enough. Trump has put us as a country through enough suffering and division and a lot of, just upset. People are very upset about the way government was operating. And it seemed to be a government within a government. We had no real influence or power over the Trump administration. So they pretty much did whatever it is they wanted to do. Should we accept, if it should be proposed, that essentially we need to write that chapter of history off as just a bleak chapter in the life of the United States of America, and therefore the greater good would be to move on, to pretend it never happened, to write it off and just keep moving ahead? That would be the rationale, I think, that they would offer, that the time has come to heal the nation and to bring people together who can commit to working together for the good of all. I think that's where they're going to go. So that Trump, once again, would walk. However, there are other things that he's got a whole bunch of lawsuits waiting in the wings that will be prosecuted and that he will have to account for. But I'm concerned at this point with the Biden response to Donald Trump's administration and the suffering that people have endured for the past 4 years. And it seems to me that there ought to be some kind of a statement and action to back it up, that the people are owed. They are owed an explanation and they are owed an accounting because they have suffered because of it. 888-874-4888 is the number to call and share your thoughts. Pete from Kingston, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Okay, I can barely hear you.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm now hearing you. I was unable to hear you before.
Oh, good, good, good. And thank you for the show. It's a wonderful and important show. And,
thank you.
You know, my experience in my lifetime, I'm 74, when is the last time a president of the United States was held accountable with consequences? So I believe Clinton was impeached and not removed from office and just basically continued. The savings and loan scandals came out, pretty obvious, blatant criminal behavior. I don't think there was really a result other than maybe some lower-level people. So it seems to me, if you want to get away with murder, sometimes literally, become president of the United States. It's a provocative statement, but unfortunately there seems to be some truth to it.
So which are you prepared for when this new administration takes office? What do you expect the attitude will be that they will in turn try to sell us about their determination of rectifying things as they come in?
It's not going to happen. There could be some dog and pony show and much action and fury signifying nothing. So what do I think is going to happen? Nothing. I mean, it will be business as usual. Saying nothing is not true. I mean, it will be the United States continuing its business as usual.
Business as usual.
Pretty grim.
Might it be also that if Biden should choose to go up against Trump, he in effect will also have to explain himself with regard to many irregularities when he was in office as a senator and as vice president?
Yeah. That's why I'm saying business as usual. Everybody's dirty. And nobody wants to upset the apple cart because, you know, once you're in there, in power, why on earth would you want to threaten that in any way?
Thank you, Pete, for your call today. Thank you. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings, Eutrice. Greetings to your audience.
Greetings.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know where to begin, to be honest with you, but the in terms of Donald Trump and President Donald Trump and the election and all that stuff, I can't help but, well, remember, back in 19, there's always been trouble with elections in the United States of America. I think there's always been some form of fraud and unethical behavior. Back in 1968, when Dick Gregory ran for president, he wrote a book about it, Write Me In. And he showed a picture from a newspaper clipping from the Wall Street Journal where he got 9 million votes in the state of Pennsylvania. You know, he ran as Richard, you know, Claxton Gregory. Richard Nixon was also running that year. And they pulled those 9 million votes from Dick Gregory and said that there was a mistake. You know, this was written in the Wall Street Journal back in 1968. So the election integrity has been lacking for a long time in this country. Democrats have participated in it, and Republicans too, in my opinion. I may be off point here, but your question about the problem, or what I see as part of the problem, is, and I'll just speak for myself, I'm part of the problem, and maybe a lot of us are part of the problem. Some of it's our own fault, some of it is not. You know, we've been dumbed down and conditioned and deprived and in a way, enslaved to a degree on a mental and emotional level. And I noticed from watching some news reports, people outside of the United States, some folks, don't see a bit of difference between Trump and Biden in terms of their policy. And I'm reminded of something else Dick Gregory said in 2016 when Donald Trump was elected. He said that it's over. It's pretty much over for the USA. And he talked about how when you vote for the lesser of two evils, it's because you're evil yourself to a degree. And I'm seeing news articles about China and its quote-unquote rise, and the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency or not being the reserve currency. I've seen news reports where people are talking about the Biden versus Trump thing can be translated to the white American Anglo-Saxon Protestants versus the Zionist Ashkenazi Jews kind of deal. And more will be revealed. There's some kind of rally or something that's going to be happening in D.C. in a couple of days while this electoral vote count thing is underway. And I understand there's almost a dozen senators who are willing to contest those vote counts for this election.
They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They're about a dozen, yes. And it is just so pitiful that this is what we have. We see portions of it here and there, but put in aggregate, this is what we've got as leadership of this country.
Yes, ma'am.
As a leadership of one of the most powerful countries on the planet. It's so humiliating to come to that realization that is what we've got. Thanks. We've come to the end of the program today. Thank you all for contributing. We still have more to go, and we will get there in discussing this and other related issues, because the window of time is closing, and there will have to be a transition of governments soon, come the 20th. So we will talk some more. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.